Episode 188. Welcome back to Steel and Ass, presented by Hedge Better. Today is Thursday, May 15th. We are recording right now prior to the game 6 of the Boston Celtics at the New York Knicks. That takes place Friday night. Producer Justin, our guy, he said he might be able to get the episode out in time. If not, it is what it is, but we just thought we'd give you our thoughts there. Tatum goes down for the season. Celtics avenge him in game 5. Can they keep this string going? We'll give you our thoughts. NBA, rest of the NHL playoff, you know, we'll recap a little bit of what we've liked and, you know, what we've been kind of surprised by. I think the NBA playoffs has been as best as it's been in a long time.
Very good.
And Pat's game, Pat's their regular season schedule just came out. We'll give you the hot spots of the road games that you need to go to. And we're going to go through game 1 through game 17 and see what kind of record we have by just off the knob of, you know, Mike Vrabel coming in as a first-year head coach, Drake May coming in as a second year.
We might be back, folks.
Pretty good draft. You finally have another one receiver. So we'll see what happens. Baseball minute. A lot of negativity surrounding around the Boston Red Sox right now. Back to 500, babe, is currently a thing. Yankees still leading the way. Aaron Judge, the best hitter in baseball.
A lot of optimism on my side.
Anything else? You might throw a couple, you know, TV recs at you after that. You know, go Celtics. I think we're at a point where.
Yes. Lead green, baby.
Yeah. Well, we'll start out with it. Normally, like, we take a little break in the summer, maybe like a full month or something. But I didn't think that it was going to be maybe this short to where basketball season ends and only really baseball is among us. You know, going into game 6 right now, obviously they lost 3 of 4 to start the series. Then you go with Jason Tatum injury in game 4 there towards the end of the game. Ruptured Achilles immediately. By the way, that's crazy, the turnaround. Like, I think he had surgery like that night, which is wild.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But I mean, that one was definitely like, they knew what they were doing going into it. Like, that, like, they didn't have to fucking do too much testing. Like, that was pretty clear.
Yeah. And then no, like, reporting from Shams or like any insider of like, told you everything you need to know, that it was what everyone thought it was.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would have saw some optimism from some tweets or some insiders. So long story short there, Tatum up for the season, 8 to 10 months. You know, they had to hop on without him last night. Jaylen Brown led by example. I think he had, you know, about 26 points. He had 12 rebounds, 8 assists, came out there, really played good team basketball. And a lot of guys stepped up and, you know, when they had to.
Luke.
Yeah.
What an absolute stud. He didn't get there. Obviously played great. I needed the triple double.
Yeah.
Every time the little fucking graphic came up, it got closer. Like, it was like, it started with like, I don't know, he was at like 8, like 4 and like 3.
Yeah.
And then it got to like 10, 8, and 7. And I was like, dude.
10, 9, and 7. If you got a triple double with 10 blocks, that's fucking up.
I needed it. I was going to go fucking nuts. Every block he got, like, after 4, I went crazy.
But like, it seemed like, in all these people saying, oh, they look better without Tatum. No, they just play with more desperation because their season was literally over if they lost last night's game.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And also on top of that, they're the reigning champs. And like, when your superstar, like your leader, goes down like that, like, you can either crumble or respond. And they're just a team that, like, I thought, I don't know about the rest of the series, but I thought last night's game was an absolute no-brainer. We're going to win.
Yeah, no, like
I had no fear of losing last night. I didn't think the season would be over last night. It's still a tough road back. That sucks. You know, obviously the fucking game 1 and 2 were abysmal.
Yeah, the big thing that I saw, at least on the offensive end last night, as opposed to other games trying to close. I mean, think about it. There's been 5 games in the series. All 5 games, the Celtics have had over 14-point leads.
Yeah.
Oh, like,
yeah.
That's insane. But my point of offense is last night they were looking for the extra pass. They weren't just, maybe it could have been a 3. Maybe it could have been someone driving for a layup. But of course, you know, the surgeons of Luke Kornet, where he kind of played off the pick and roll, had that backwards dunk.
That was nuts.
That was great. Whether you want to rank it a 5 or 6, that's fine. It still went in.
Feet barely off the ground, reverse dunk. Incredible stuff.
If we're all talking about Tatum, you know, being out for the season, how about Kristaps Porzingis? Said after, you know, in the press conference last night, he could barely breathe. Joe Mazzulla's been getting a lot of grief this series. He has been getting out coached by Tibbs there. But you know, at halftime, he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give Kornet minutes. We're going to we're gonna make sure Peyton Pritchard gets, you know, like Peyton Pritchard played 39 minutes last night. He went 5 for 14 from three, but like I felt like every time I saw Pritchard shooting, it was the good shot. It was the right shot to take. He was open. He just seems like, you know, every time he's around the rim too, he can even, you know, sneak in a layup on all these, you know, Robinson, Karl Anthony Towns. It just seems like they still have a nucleus to where I think they could be the better team. If you look at, you know, the top five players in this series, you talk about Jaylen Brown, you talk about Derek White, Jrue Holiday, you throw in Jalen Brunson there. But then after that, like you probably have three of the top five players still in the series.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're talking about should we be favored to win the series? Should the Celtics come back? That still remains in question. I mean, this is a game. This is a series where I don't think there's any pressure on the Celtics. The Celtics won the championship last year. Their best player just went out for the season. Now you have a guy in Jaylen Brown who's been your 1B the last, he called six, 7 years. Yeah. Called 5 years now since Kyrie's gone. And he has an opportunity here to, you know, make everyone a part of him better, which Jason Tatum, I think, has done an exceptionally good job of this year, making the people around him better. Now it's Jaylen Brown's time to kind of lead the team. And, you know, Al Horford's giving you minutes at 39. Jrue Holiday, you know, played great defense last night. Sam Hauser finally came back and hit a couple big shots down the stretch.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, you know, he's been pretty cold. But I think at the end of the day, all the pressure is on the Knicks now. They should... Like, if I'm not a Celtics fan, if I'm outside basketball, look at this game, I'm thinking the Knicks probably finish this at game six. But all the pressure is on them. When all the pressure in my entire livelihood has ever been on the New York Knicks, shit has gone sideways.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, after the first two games, like, you got to try to avenge that. Like, that's in the Celtics' head. I mean, every loss has been god awful for the Celtics in this series. Like, absolutely terrible.
Game one and two, it's
choke job.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Exactly.
But not if you're on the team, even if you're a fan, you have to put that behind you.
No,
you
absolutely.
Have to worry about Friday night, and you have to worry about getting a win at Madison Square Garden. And we said this before the series. I think, like everyone said, I think we had Celtics in five or six games. But don't sleep on Mikal Bridges, who I think was at game two, didn't have any points. Fourth quarter, scores 16 points, takes the game. I think he's easily been their second best player of the series. Jalen Brunson can't do it defensively, but he's told you time and time again, he's a clutch player of the year. Apparently, yeah. There's an award for that.
Hart's been a motherfucker,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, fourth quarter. Yeah, and Josh Hart, I mean, he could play on my team any day. I think the guy's a fucking hard worker. Not sold on Karl Anthony Towns. I think you look at Julius Randle in Minnesota right now, and he's thriving. I think at this point right now, I mean, who knows? It's still game six, game seven to play. But I think Minnesota got the best of that trade, at least right now.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. No, I think they did.
Yeah, and OG Anunoby, again, is another hit-or-miss guy where, you know, last night he shot 1 for 12. But, you know, there was a couple big plays, you know, in game one or two that he came up and was successful first team. Miles McBride has been, you know, a pain in the ass for the Celtics off the bench, hitting some threes. I think he hit three last night. So, you know, that's really the forefront of what I've seen from the Knicks. And then you look at the hack of Shaq, the Mitchell Robinson, finally got it together last night. You take enough free throws, you're eventually going to hit it. But those are some ugly shots, man.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, dude, credit to him, because, like, he was so bad at that. He went 4 for 4 last night.
He's throwing fastballs at the rim. And if they just happen to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, he's definitely improved from that, because, like, it used to be like there's not a fuck.
Like, I think he was like back. 5 for 17 going into last night. He went 6 for 6.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, good for him.
So he's back over the 500 mark. Can't say that about the Red Sox, but we'll leave that for later on.
Oh, I can't wait to get there. But
But Friday night's going to be Jaylen Brown is going to have to bring, they're going to have to play their best basketball. And honestly, basically, outside of all the second halves they've lost, they've played pretty good basketball.
Yeah.
Even last night, they, you know, it was a close first half. I think the Knicks really took it, you know, tried taking it to them to close out the series. That was their best effort. I think it was a tie game going to halftime. Then they went on 32-17 run, really stole the show going in the fourth quarter, won by 25 last night.
I mean, they've had three bad quarters.
Yeah.
And that's why it's 3-2.
Yeah,
In some other fucking opposite dimension, like, we swept them.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
And then you look at,
we just got to play focus for four quarters.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they did last
season. you know, every series they played in, more or less, they didn't really have their backs against the wall, really. You go back to, you know, when they played the Miami Heat, when they forced the game seven and they kind of pissed themselves at home. They've bet this group, I mean, at least go the Horford, Derek White, Brown. I mean, Holiday has been there, done that as well. I don't think you're going to see, even though that I saw Joe Mazzulla was on the radio today and said he expects Kristaps Porzingis to be out there playing full minutes tomorrow, Friday night.
Oh, yeah, we'll see. I mean, at this point, like, it's backs against the wall, and they got to do what they did last night. Like, if he, like, can't breathe or he's not 100%, like, you got to, like, move on.
Move on.
Like, come back in the next series if we get there. You know what I mean? Like, fucking rest up. Like we can't have a guy at 50% out
there. Yeah, but you know what? Not a lot of coaches would have done that. I give a lot of respect to Joe Mazzulla there for really making the switch, because they did win by 25. Maybe they would have won the game regardless, but giving Cornett 26 minutes, having Peyton Pritchard going out there longer than he normally would was big for this team.
Oh yeah, especially Cornette, like, if you don't think fucking coming off the bench and seven blocks doesn't get like the teammates fired up, like, you know what I mean, like, that, like, they were going crazy too on the court and every fucking thing. Well, like, did a great job.
Another thing too, none of these guys who regularly play for the Celtics can't, like, they all play defense. Even Peyton Pritchard, he busses. I mean, Jalen Brunson's one of the, you know, when he has the hezzy or he takes forever to shoot, you know, to draw a foul, that's tough shit. Like, it's tough to guard. But he's been, you know, as good as he can on him whenever, you know, that matchup occurs.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about it before. Like, Pritchard's, like, bad on defense solely because of height. Yeah. Like, he's just trying his ass off. He's fucking in the grill. He's just fucking 6 inches
That's why
small.
Brunson, out of all most point guards, that's a good matchup because they're similar in height. Jaylen Brown is going to – Derek White has been probably the best player in the, like, for the Celtics in this series. What they just played? Game five.
Yep.
He had 14 in the first half. He had 4 3-pointers. Game four, the one that we even lost, I think he had 4 3-pointers in the first half. So he's a guy to look out for offensively. He had 34 points, led the team last night.
That's like exactly that, like, if his shot's going, like, he can give you 16 in a quarter.
No,
like a quarter. You know what I mean? Like, that shot, he can fire it in.
It's gone from, you know, Tatum 1A, Brown to 1B, to just Brown 1, White 2, basically. Just hop, kind of just, you know, rotating there where, okay, they're both really good defensively, but how are we going to, you know, move the ball? And I just think, bottom line, they need to look for the extra pass. I get they're going to shoot, like, how many 3-pointers they shoot last night? They shot 49, which is basically average for them. I think 50 is pretty average.
Yeah, give it
to them. So that's, like, where you're going to be. If you can shoot 44% like you did last night, you're going to win the game.
Yeah, 100%. And as you were saying about the backs against the wall, even going farther back to when, like, Jaylen Brown and Tatum were, like, the young guys, like, teams, like, they've never gone, like, down without a fight.
No.
Like, even if it was, like, LeBron or something, like, they took game seven to LeBron, LeBron to game seven when they were, like, 19-20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they're fucking road warriors.
Yeah.
Like, they have, in recent past, played better on the road than they have at home. I feel like the pressure will really be on the Knicks tomorrow night, but if it comes back to the Garden on, is that Monday? It would be Monday night. I don't, like, the Celtics will be expected to finish that.
Yeah. No,
if it gets to game seven, they will be favored in that game, no doubt.
That's one thing. It, like, they fought through in game three, and game three was a crazy crowd, overconfident. They just stole both on the road. There's going to be some nervous people sitting in those stands.
Oh, definitely.
Madison Square Garden tomorrow. There's going to be some nervous people.
Because they've seen some shitty happenings before. Yeah, you know what I mean?
There's going to be some nerves.
But, like, before we wrap up on the Celtics, I would like to see Niamis Keita get, like, at least 10 minutes tomorrow night.
How about that fucking Davidson shot at the end with, like,
fucking beautiful.
That was fucking crazy.
Teardrop.
You could literally, like, the announcers were like, whoa, that went
in.
Yeah,
the game was, like, already over and they kept going.
Yeah.
Bottom line is just going to be able to close out. Like, you need to close out game. I think they will win tomorrow night, Friday night, if they can close out the game. Because I think they're going to beat every game they've been there.
Yeah.
But can you finish the job? Can you close out defensively? Can you get to the line? That's another thing, too. They got to the line last night 26 times, shot 65%, only 17 went in. That's, you can't miss 9 free throws, expect to win a game in the NBA.
No,
it can't happen.
And keep attacking, too. I mean, you got Jalen Brunson to foul out. That's not a guy. Like, Karl-Anthony Towns, it's like one thing, the big guy. they foul out from time to time. Like, Brunson fouling out isn't fucking run of the mill.
It reminded me in the closeout game against the Magic, Paolo Banchero fouled out. Immediately, the game went boom. Same thing.
He didn't even foul out. He just got in trouble. They took him out for like 4 minutes, and they went down by like 25.
That was five. I think that was five fouls with like halfway to go in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it was over by then.
And before he got back in, yeah, it was over.
It was over. Yeah. Be interesting to see tomorrow night. I would like, I mean, we'd all love them to push it to a game seven, see what happens. You look at the, you know, outlook of the NBA playoffs. It was quite a surprise on the other side of it as Indiana took down the Cleveland in five games. Seems like Indiana's playing really good offensive basketball right now. Seem really to be swinging around led by Tyrese Haliburton.
Very, very sneakily just like skyrocketing up the like leaders list, Haliburton. Like back-to-back conference finals.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That Mathurin guy, Miles Turner, the guy who's the guy we traded over there who's a dog. I'm not going to remember. Aaron Nesmith, he's been playing well. That team, you know, they have some experience from last year. Whoever they play, they're going to be pretty hungry.
Oh yeah, I mean that's all they were missing last year. I mean it was like the toughest series with them last year. And we swept them, but every game was like a point.
And no matter who wins, I mean the Knicks or the Celtics, I mean we're without our best player. The Knicks haven't been there. They're probably licking their chops, thinking that they have a good opportunity to advance.
Yeah, and they probably want us to win this game too, because you know it's set.
Yeah, get some time.
Like, yeah, they're probably rooting for the Celtics.
It says it started May 21st, so that is next Wednesday. So that would be the Eastern Conference final start. On the other side, it's a lot like last year. The Timberwolves, you know, beat two teams with highly, you know, players in the Lakers and the Warriors. They just beat the Warriors in five games. But I honestly think the winner of the Thunder and the Nuggets is going to win the whole thing. I think those two teams are going back. That's probably the best series I've seen so far with the Thunder and Nuggets. SGA has been, you know, being the leader of that team the past couple seasons. He's probably the MVP of this year. And then you have Jokic on the other end, who's been dynamic, team that's gone a long way. OKC's up 3-2, big game, actually tonight, recording on a Thursday. I could see definitely last year, Luka went into the Western Conference Finals and beat T-Wolves in five games. I could see whoever advances the Thunder and the Nuggets getting to the championship in four or five games. Although Anthony Edwards has played well, although they have a pretty deep team, they've kind of gotten lucky of their matchups. Like Warriors, Steph Curry went down. Lakers-wise, that team just isn't ready to win yet.
Well, they did a great job because it like pregame had come out like, Steph comes back if this series goes on longer.
On the six. Yeah.
If you don't think like they didn't hear that and we're like,
let's wrap it up.
We are not taking tonight. Yeah. Like there is another game. Like this is like a game seven mentality almost. Cause like, I mean, Steph Curry is one of the all timers. You like can't give a chance to like, you can't fucking do that.
Did you see what Anthony Edwards did about that chick who he had a kid with?
No.
So, like, he said didn't want to be in the kid's life, which I think is awful, but that's not what I'm commenting on. So, in order to pay child support, he paid $1.8 million to the lady each year, 100 G's until you're 18.
Wow.
Like, kind of a baller move.
No, yeah, like, take the check, see ya. Like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Back on the scumbag. Yeah, back on the basketball, I do still, like, if you were to tell me, you know, gun to the head, who's going to win the NBA Finals this year, I'd say the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I think I like them, too, because they took Jokic's best shot in the last game and they won. Like, I mean, he had, like, 45, like, 12 and 15 or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And, like,
they pulled it off. I'm choosing my words wisely because I'm not saying anything about the Celtics until, you know, that they can, you know, get by. We'll see what happens. If the matchup is Pacers-Celtics, that's when we'll have the next conversation of who I think is going to win the NBA Finals. But Carolina 3-2 without your best player going into their house tomorrow night. It's going to be – I get the Celtics won the championship last year, but it's going to be quite the spectacle. It's going to be quite the game, and looking forward to seeing them with that opportunity.
Oh, yeah, especially – I mean, and if the worst case happens – and let's say the Nuggets lose, like hypothetically.
Yeah.
You got to You got Thunder, Timberwolves, Pacers, Knicks. Like, you have teams that haven't won shit forever.
That's a good point.
Like, it'd be like all of those stadiums would be fucking crazy for all of them. Like, none of those people have ever fucking done anything.
Especially on the east side, because, like, the Thunder, I think, was expected to at least be there this year.
Yeah.
But you're telling me either the Pacers or the Knicks are going to get to the finals. If you can tell me that beginning of the season, I'd tell you fry.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you got the Timberwolves, like the biggest moment in your franchise's history was trading your franchise player to the Celtics.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest moment.
Everyone's been talking about the Cavs-Celtics series, like, all season, basically. Like, oh, that's going to be the team. That's going to be the team. And now maybe both teams aren't even going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big ifs.
Bleed green. All hypothetical. Yeah. Bleed
Knicks
green.
Favored by 2.5 tomorrow night. Their first game in this series where they are favored. Do they finish the job? What do you think?
Let's go Celtics.
Yeah, I think
fuck them.
I'm taking it game by game. I'm not going to say they're going to win, but I think the Celtics go in there and, you know, they're going to take their experience that they've had over the past couple of years, and they're going to do what they did last night. I think they're going to take care of business.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, I'm inspired. I'm ready to go. If you're not, I mean, and you know what, too? The Garden was like half empty last night. Just rich people, whatever. Fill that place up if it goes to game 7, please.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Make the tickets affordable. I get you just sold the team for $6.1 billion. But let's figure it out.
Big fan of the Dune movie. So, like, going to war with Timothy Chalamet. It's been a battle.
The owner wore Jason Tatum's jersey last night. That was, you don't really see that show.
No, love that. Yeah. Love that.
Shout out. He'll be back. Other playoffs that I haven't watched too much of the NHL, but what I did see last night was after the Maple Leafs were up 2-0, they were, you know, gloating and everything. Biggest game in the Maple Leafs history, probably the last 50 years. Last night, and they lost 6-1.
Pumped.
Marchand's leaving the game. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
He's waving
Smiles.
At him.
Smiles. Love it.
It's just
cry.
It's just another time Brad Marchand takes you out. He's been playing pretty good this series too.
Oh yeah,
getting on the score sheet.
He was the best player besides Pasta.
Whoever gets him in the offseason, it's going to be a gem. Like, I think the Rangers would be a good team that's trying to get back on top. One of those guys, good culture guy. I mean, he's leading this team. He's helping lead this team to maybe perhaps another Eastern Conference final. Appearance.
Dude, the Panthers is gross enough, man. We don't need them on the Rangers.
Yeah. No,
what are you going to say? The Canadians next, dude. Relax.
No, I'm just telling you how teams, you know.
No, there's going to be a large market for Brad Marchand in the offseason.
And then on the other side, Capitals are trailing Carolina right now, 3-1. They're playing currently tied up at 1 in the second period. On the other end.
Yeah, you got Obi. And I mean, that Carolina, Florida would be an absolutely unreal series. If that's how it goes.
Oh, Carolina, yeah.
Carolina,
just two
Florida.
Grinder teams. Yeah. That like
be some gritty hockey.
Yeah, but that like even the years people might have thought like, okay, their window to like win it all, especially the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes were favorites like the past like 3 years to like go all the way. And they're taking care of business against Ovi and the Caps right now. Oilers show face again, winning 5 games over the Golden Knights. Jets, I think they got as far as they can take it here. I think the Star is going to take care of business here. Oilers get back to the Cup. Maybe Panthers, maybe a rematch.
We'll see. The Stars have looked like a wagon the past several games. The Stars look good.
Sagan's still playing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're getting good. Rantanen looks like an amazing pickup.
Well, they have 3 hat tricks, right? And Rantanen has two of them.
No, he's been the best player, yeah. He's been absolutely incredible.
Will be interesting to see. Obviously,
without his old team, Avalanche.
Without the Bruins in the playoffs, I don't know what the Celtics going on, everything. I just haven't tuned in that much. But I think once the conference finals go around, I'll be showing face a little more.
Yeah, it should be two great matchups.
Yeah.
However it goes.
Speaking of matchups, we have a full.
Fuck the Leafs.
Yeah. We have a full 17. Yeah. Full 17 game slate that they somehow make it like a holiday now of the NFL. Schedule release. Patriots got a pretty sizable schedule, favorable schedule, I should say. You know, with Mike Vrabel coming in as the head coach, with a pretty good NFL draft, at least on paper. Getting a number one wide receiver in Stephon Diggs, Milton Williams, Carlton Davis coming in defensively. You have a second-year quarterback in Drake May. Is this the time to really, you know, four wins in the last, you know, each of the last two seasons? Are they going to flip the script this year? Well, with a lighter schedule, you know, as opposed to these teams' records the year before and how they kind of look now, looks kind of favorable. We're going to go game one through game 17, and we're going to go with a record here. We're just going to get it done.
Let's go.
So the opening game at home, it's the Josh McDaniels revenge game as he's the offensive coordinator of the Patriots. Vegas and Geno Smith come into Foxborough last year. Geno Smith came out with an overtime victory over Drake May at home. I just don't think Vegas is ready for this, especially in the opener. I think this Patriots are going to come out guns blazing. I got Pats winning the first game.
I think so, too. I think if there is a game changer in that game, it's if Genty fucking comes right out as a running back fucking stud.
Yeah. Well, that could be true, too.
Because he, I mean, I think he's like the game changer. I do like us to win that game, though. I think that team's kind of in shambles. It's just
they're
rebuilding.
Speaking of, you know, the run game, defending it, Christian Barmore just got cleared after his blood clots last year. It's good to hear. Second game at Miami. This is a not-so-fast game for me. They usually don't play well in Miami. I think Miami's very underrated in terms of their offense, and I don't think the Patriots have had any success in Miami the past couple of years. I got a loss here.
That's in Miami was like the only game I like admitted defeat with Tom Brady. Like we don't win in Miami.
No.
And it's just that simple.
Game three.
Although I do, there is a prayer a little bit because it's that early.
Yeah.
That does change it a little.
You could get them while they're, you know.
Yeah, because usually that game's like in like December and it's like, yeah, it just fucks.
Season's
up,
already wrapped
work.
Up. Yeah. And then you have Pittsburgh at home, game three. So we're sitting at 1-1 right now. Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback right now, Mason Rudolph, if they don't get Aaron Rodgers. Even with Aaron Rodgers, I think Pittsburgh's going to take a big step back this year. They always flirt with 500. I think this is the year they finally don't go over, especially because they're Division II. And, you know, I think the Bengals are going to have a better year and Ravens do what they do. Who knows about the Browns? Probably going to suck, but maybe they'll be battling Cleveland for sucking. I got them winning this game going 2-1.
Yep, I agree. That's how I was going to say it. I was like, without fucking Aaron Rodgers, Patriots win. With Aaron Rodgers, Patriots win.
Yeah, easily.
Fuck him.
I really hope he doesn't play. He's such a waste of time. Yes, at home, Carolina. This will be an interesting game because I think Carolina's getting better too. I can see this being close. But again, I got Patriots win again, 3-1.
Yeah.
After 4 weeks.
Yep, I agree. Carolina, they're not there yet. Bryce Young, not a fan.
Yeah, but
I don't think
this team starts 3-1, how much hype is going to be around? So much. 3-1. Like I get it's Vegas, Miami, Pittsburgh, and Carolina. I mean, if you just look at it, 4-0. But I'm thinking 3-1. If you start, you know, that's a good start to the season.
The worst part about that is then we're going to be on Sunday Night Football. We're going to get massacred by the Bills.
Yeah.
No, we're going to be so fired up for that.
Anyone who's doing this right now, 1 through 17, like everyone has that game as a loss.
Yeah.
That would be the, that has to be at least a 10-point spread going into it. But you're sitting at 3-1. You're going up against the big guns who have won the division, what, 4 or 5 years in a row now. I don't see it happening. So back to 3-2.
Yeah, no, that will be a humbling game for them.
Yeah.
If they're 3-1.
Another one here, their quarterback just retired, Derek Carr, going to New Orleans. It seems like they still have, you know, some athletic guys that they actually got in there. That would actually be a decent place for it. Not that I'm like big on Aaron Rodgers, but like that'd be a place to look at too if I was him. I got another win here. I mean, Spencer Rattler, come on now.
Let's get the fuck out of my face with Spencer Rattler.
So 4-2.
Pats by a billion that game.
Yeah. 4-2. You go into Nashville. There's fucking turkey legs. There's the honky tonk. There's a lot of, you know, Bud Lights, you know, going on.
Might have to go.
4-2. Good record here so far, but are you gonna beat the number one overall pick? And it's the Mike Vrabel revenge game.
It is the revenge game. So he's going to come. But that game is tough because as a big fan of Cam Ward, what Jaden Daniels did was incredible, but he's got some of that player. Like, he might light it up rookie year.
Yeah, it depends the people around him. I mean, he's got Calvin Ridley. They just got another guy. I forget who it was.
They took Xavier Restrepo.
Okay.
His number one target in college. So fucking, that's going to be huge for them.
I'll give you the opinion. We're going win or loss on this.
We're there, so win.
Win. Okay, so we're now sitting at 5-2 heading into week 8 at home against Cleveland. I mean, I'm speak for us. We're beating Cleveland at home. It's happening.
Yeah.
So that's 6-2.
Six and two makes me nervous about that Tennessee bit.
Yeah,
because all right. I might switch the Tennessee game because I don't think we'll be 6-2. That just seems crazy to say.
Okay, so we'll go loss Tennessee, win Cleveland. Who knows?
Five and three
sounds way better because the stretch coming up. You have Atlanta at home, who, you know, it's gonna be Michael Penix's first true year. He has got a lot of offensive weapons. I think Bijan Robinson. You know, this is the year I think he should really come out too as, you know, a top three back in the league. Could definitely be a tough game.
Yeah, no, absolutely a tough game. And the NFL, I think the Falcons are in like six primetime games or five or something like that. So like the NFL thinks the Falcons are going to be like.
I'm going to go with an L at home.
Yeah.
An L at home, get back. I mean, five? So we're 5-4 now going into Tampa week 10. Baker Mayfield just seems like this is a nice measuring stick game to where, you know, Tampa's definitely a playoff team, but like how much better are they than the Patriots? I could see the Patriots going on the road and taking this game.
I think Baker's revived his career there. I think Baker might take that one from
us. Okay, so he's taking him. So now we're 5-5 after 10 games. 5-5 after 10 games. That is reasonable. We were just at like 6-2, and then we revoked back to 5-5, which I do like that for us because we're playing like the whole, like not so fast. Shout out Lee Corso. At home, Thursday night football. This is going to be on the graphic. Got to take the Patriots at home against the Jets.
Oh, yeah, no brainer. Yeah.
Justin Fields just seems like, will he put up a better effort than what Aaron Rodgers did last year? Probably.
Yeah.
But getting it to the receivers, getting it to Garrett Wilson, I can see some more receivers, you know, not happy. That's exactly what he did with the Bears. Even last year with the Steelers, they were winning games, but they weren't really scoring any points. And then, so they're at 6-5 after week 11. They're going into Cincinnati. They beat Cincinnati last year in the opener. Cincy, clearly a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, have one of the best quarterbacks in football. I think they made some moves defensively to make themselves better. I get a loss here, so they're 6-6.
Yeah.
Six and six. Heading in December, you have five games left in order to make the postseason. That sounds fucking right.
Yeah.
sounds fucking right.
It does.
The Giants at home, Monday night football. Again, a team that I think they think they nailed the draft. Nailing the draft this year does not make you a good team this year. If that makes like Jackson Dart probably playing by week 13.
Oh yeah.
I got the Patriots winning here at home. 7-6 heading into the bye week.
Last time we played them, it was like a 10-9 game and I had to wear a Giants jersey for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Redemption.
Yeah, redemption is right.
Fuck the Giants.
They're gonna win the bye week. You know why they're gonna win the bye week? Because this is my upset of the year. Because week 15 they host the AFC East leaders in Buffalo, and they're going to upset them on their home turf.
Ooh.
To go 8-6.
Okay,
they're going to be right. That's 8-6. Yeah, we're 14 games in, 8-6 right now.
Okay,
unless you want Buffalo. Do you want Buffalo? All right, so 7-7.
Yeah. We'll
go 7-7.
We could split with Buffalo.
Oh, so we win. Okay, so we're 8-6. Okay, 8-6. I'm trying to be on the same page, man. Baltimore on the road, 1 o'clock game. This is going to be when Baltimore, you know, whether they're trying to secure AFC North or trying to secure home field advantage, going to be an L. We'll go back to 8-7 there. On the road, right after Christmas here, big game at MetLife against the Jets. This is a gotta have a game. I think you're 8-7 at this point. So give it a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
9-7. Now you're playing Miami week 18, and this game probably means if you're going to the playoffs or not.
Yep, and we win because it's in Gillette. It's in Gillette. It's the opposite of fucking
and by Miami,
how we played down there.
I don't know who Skylar Thompson plays for anymore, but like by week 18, someone else besides Tua is playing quarterback.
100%.
So
after, and he ain't going to be any good.
So after finishing up, we're at 10-7. I mean, we didn't really give any leeway. Like, and honestly, there was losses in there that easily could have been wins.
Yeah.
I think we were very, the only one I was like was Buffalo. But off the bye week, I could definitely see that happening. Last year, you saw the Patriots even figure it out and play good football against Buffalo both games. I'll start with the first game because the second one didn't matter. They actually did play well in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I could see them winning a game. A 10-7, I think it sounds realistic. I was listening to the radio today. They were saying it could get up to 12-5. But like again, not so,
see that's picking the Tennessee game, but, the right?
Yeah, back to the not so fast. Like, but anything better than four wins positivity. I think anything under seven wins is a loss for the season.
No, that's a great schedule for like a rebuilding game.
Set between 7 and 10 wins, I think, is the goal.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I mean because I mean there's what like. There's three or four games where there's like no fucking chance.
Yeah,
and that's about it.
Like I call that Baltimore, the first one, first one on the road against Buffalo,
and the Bengals.
And the Bengals. So that's three. And then if you even me and you are just fucking very afraid of the Atlanta Falcons. Apparently, we were like, no, we're not winning that game.
Yeah, but,
like bottom line. So yeah, call it three. So I mean, if they want to play great football. 14-3. They want to play awful football. 6-11.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's a lot of leeway because there are some teams that could shock you there. I mean, like Tennessee, New Orleans being the ones because like they we just don't know what those teams have in store yet. we don't know.
And it was a small sample size last year, and obviously wasn't the offense they're gonna run. But then again, Drake May had games last season where. You know, if they got the touchdown on the final drive, they win the game. Are you going to be able to do that this year with a better offensive scheme ran by Josh McDaniels, just a better overall and experienced head coach and Mike Vrabel? Are you going to, be able to do that? Or are you going to turn the ball over? There's a lot of elements that go into this to where, we're just saying win or loss going down.
Oh, yeah, of course.
A lot of things that go into it. Even the kicker. What kicker are we going to have? This Miami guy. And
all about the U, baby.
In December, is he going to be able to kick field goals? I heard Rodrigo Blankenship has hit his first 15 field goals in the UFL this year.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Love that.
So he might be back.
That'd be sick.
It was either Blankenship or it was the Guile guy. Either way, they both suck, but.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
But Blankenship was like, he might be the best college kicker of all time.
Yeah, he's up there.
The guy with the Rex specs, right? Shadow and Trafonte.
Yeah. Absolute stud.
Friend of the pod. All right, well, that should be interesting going forward. Still a lot of time here. We're in May 15th. We still have... That's 4 months to football. That's a long time.
But luckily, we have baseball.
Yeah. Before we get to baseball, I don't think I've shouted him out yet. I want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, the Law Office of Patrick J. Foley. If you're looking for legal, proper representation, first-time house buyers, he's got you. 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. Like I said, if you're, waiting to close at midnight on a Friday where, there's heavy traffic, he'll beat the traffic. He'll get there before you even think about it. He'll kill it for you.
Absolutely. Best there is.
Yeah, diving into baseball now. So I'll talk on my end of the Boston Red Sox. Just a clear mediocre team. Since the start of the 2024 season, they are... What is it, 103-104?
Wow.
What's the definition of mediocrity?
That. Yeah, Christ.
Clearly, there's been a lot of things to not go their way, and it's been different elements every game. Like last night, Chapman kind of let up in the late innings. The game one of the Tigers series, Taylor Hawk, who was one of your lone, him and I think Duran made the All-Star game last year, he has blown up. He let up 12 earned runs and, two in a... third innings like the other day.
I think he has two starts this year that are in like
the top five of like statistical, like worst starts in Red Sox history.
Yeah, no, just he keeps
like not even kidding.
His sweeper's his best pitch, and he's just leaving everything up and just getting his tits lit. Shout out to my boy Bordo. But going forward, this team needs to be more consistent, I think, in every phase of the game. They're missing a first baseman clearly. Nick Sogard's playing right now. Alex Cora was too afraid to ask Rafi Devers to move over there. So Craig Breslow did. And then Rafi Devers came over the loudspeaker in a press conference basically saying he doesn't fuck with that dude. So there's a lot of drama going on. Honestly, the Red Sox is like Bravo TV, in my opinion. Just like the drama and stuff going on. But all that being said, they're four games back of the New York Yankees while they still have an under 500 record. So that being said, they're still in contention 45 games in. Again, 45 games in.
Still a lot of season left.
Yeah, Alex Bregman's been their best player offensively, been 314, 11 homers, 33 ribbies. You know, a lot of guys have been chipping in when they can. I feel like Duran has had a decent year. Sitting at 253, getting on base all the time. Devers, you know, outside of the first six games, has really stepped in, has been a pretty good designated hitter for this team. Christian Campbell, who, you know, rookie this season, been, you know, 250, a solid 6-7 in your lineup. Trevor Story has catapulted in the month of May down to 234 now. I mean, if you want to look at his splits, go to April. Let's see. Go to April here. He is batting. No, it's May. What's he batting? He is batting 159 in the month of May. Not going well.
Almost 300 beneath Aaron Judge.
Yeah, with 18 strikeouts. William Abreu has probably been your second best hitter behind Alex Bregman, where everyone thought he was going to be trade bait in the offseason or even the beginning of the year here. He has become one of your valuable pieces in the lineup. And then you go, you know, the pitching wise, Garrett Crochet continues to be this front end ace starter. Walker Buehler, I think he's been hurt a little bit, hasn't played. Brian Bayo is back, has been thrown pretty well. Then you have like Garrett Whitlock, Greg Weissert, who have blown saves, who have been awful in the bullpen the last couple weeks. You need to see more consistency. That's the thing with the Red Sox. Normally it's like, oh, their bullpen sucks. Oh, their starting pitching sucks. Oh, their like defense or off, you name any phase, they're usually, you know, specifically one sucks, but it's a mix and match of each one of them. There's highs and lows, but there's been a lot of lows in the last, call it 15 games.
That inside the park home run.
I couldn't believe that was a thing.
That might have been like that was the most routine play I've ever fucking seen. That was just the most
when
clear.
Remember you missed it?
Yeah, that was the most clear single that's ever been hit in fucking like MLB history.
That's on the like when Jaron Duran was a rookie and that ball just like landed right next to him.
Oh yeah.
That's like on the same reel.
Oh, I like if I was fucking Cora, like I like get in this fucking dugout.
No, it comes.
You're not out there anymore.
It comes to
for
a point.
For like the rest of the game, anyway.
It comes to a point too where I'm a big Cora guy, but like at one point, someone like has to go, and he's got to be, you know, the manager. You know, in the NHL, most of these leagues, they're usually the first ones to go. If this inconsistency keeps going into, you know, call it 40 more games, and they're sitting at 40-40, like. Something's got to give.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, and like how you were saying, like if you fuck up on the scale of that fuck up in like the NHL, like you're missing some shifts, buddy. You're on the bench for a little bit.
No, and that's what I mean. They have these two kids who they're waiting to call up, and I understand they're being patient with them, and Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, but you have Trevor Story struggling, so you're putting in David Hamilton there, who clearly isn't a shortstop, but he's not an everyday player. So why don't you bring up someone who has the potential to possibly do that if someone's struggling like that in a Trevor Story? And then you have Roman Anthony, who's been tearing the cover off the ball in AAA. They've been inconsistencies throughout this lineup. Sidan Rafaela has definitely been better, you know, taking pitches. But at the end of the day, these guys will get called up, you know, call in the summer-wise. More consistency needs to be shown. I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I haven't seen too much. Like, I've heard the name a lot of Meyer. I don't know too much on his front, but like the highlights I've seen of Roman Anthony, I don't know what you guys are doing not calling.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
I have no fucking idea what you guys are like that. You should have started fucking.
It's the whole first baseman fiasco now with Tristan Casas out. They don't want to ask Rafi to play first, so they're hesitant to ask Roman Anthony to go from the outfield to there just because he's going to have this, you know, great career in the outfield. Why put him at first base now? Which kind of makes sense. And then Marcelo Meyer on the other end, he can play third base, you know, all across the infield.
Yeah.
Shortstop, he's going to lefty bat. He's going to be a great player. Looking forward to when they finally boo Trevor Story out of town and let that guy finally play shortstop. We've been he was the fourth overall pick in his draft, but he was the number one ranked prospect in his draft. Three pitchers were taken before him. So as soon as, you know, all the pictures went by, I'm like, they got the number one player in fourth.
Yeah,
I thought of Jason Tatum right away.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. Or like, you know, like you don't need the quarterback.
No, so like, yeah. Exactly. And
first position player, yeah.
So going forward, I mean, they just had a tough road. I mean, the Tigers have been the best team in the league. They just got their first sweep of the season. They got swept by them, played the Royals, beat them in a series. Beat the Rangers in a series. So they're playing a lot of, you know, inconsistent ball, but also they're showing a lot of promise in some. The bottom line is they should be playing better than what they are. Coming up, they have the Atlanta Braves this weekend who, you know, they'll be throwing Chris Sale against Crochet Friday night, tomorrow night. That'll be quite the spectacle there at Fenway. That'd be a nice one. And then you have the Mets, you know, who made a good playoff run last year. Baltimore struggling. Then you have Milwaukee, where there's been a lot of rumors about first baseman unhappy there. And Rhys Hoskins, we need a first baseman. Rhys Hoskins would be a great addition to the Boston Red Sox.
Good player.
We'll see how that goes. But so far, yeah, mediocre. Like I said, 103 and 104 the last fucking beginning of 2024. So tough forefront.
All right, so let's talk elite.
Yeah. I see elite.
Aaron Judge, everywhere. Everywhere. Leading the league in almost every statistic. He's an absolute monster offensively.
Season end today, he won the Triple Crown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's just been absolutely unbelievable. He's been unbelievable at defense. Paul Goldschmidt has one of the highest, I think, three or four in the entire MLB. Just absolutely killing it. I mean.
So he's batting a 412.
Yes.
How many at bats is that? 84 bats, so he's got. Wait, no, that's not right. No, that I'm looking at 2016. He's got 165 at bats. He's got 68 hits. That's insane.
That's nonsense.
For a player to his, you know, he hasn't always. I mean, I get he's a career like 300 hitter more or less, but the guy strikes out a lot.
Not anymore.
Which usually impacts your batting average.
Oh yes, of course.
But you know the fact. Look at this: 1.111 OPS. 33 years old. He's at, I don't even know if he's at the, you know, climax of his career, just because he's played so well the last five years.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, he's red hot. And, you know, as I was saying, Goldschmidt has been a great addition because Rizzo was great, but he was all glove, whereas, like, now you have a good glove and he returned to being one of the best hitters. Max Fried is the ERA leader of the entire league at the moment.
Is he?
Yeah, he's wow. Absolutely killing it. He looks like an unbelievable pickup.
Oh, 1.11 ERA. 9 games started. Yeah, clearly.
No, he's been
Cy Young front runner. Right
absolutely
now.
Killing it. Devin Williams, their other big pickup, was absolutely terrible as their closer. But luckily, him fucking up everything has led to Luke Weaver returning to closer, who has let up one run this season.
That's pretty good. 0.45. Yeah, pretty good. 20 innings. Yeah, I mean, that's a scary lineup when you throw Cody Bellinger, Paul Goldschmidt.
Trent Grisham's been awesome, too.
You know, Ben Rice looks like he's been getting a lot of at-bats here. It looks like he's playing pretty well. That's a Massachusetts product there.
Oh, yeah. No, they look good. Austin Wells has been pretty good, too.
I heard, is it Jason Dominguez? He just got hurt, but I heard he's been playing some awful left field.
His left field has been struggling.
No, there was like a...
But they like just threw him out there to the Wolves.
Yeah, so there like, was
he
like...
Doesn't play out there every day.
He had like... A low light 30-second clip the other day, and I was like, wow, that's bad.
No, yeah, no, yeah. It's pretty bad.
And then Trent Grisham has 12 homers.
Yeah, no, he's been an absolute monster. Yeah.
A good surprise.
And it just doesn't stop. Like, it's like no. He's going to, like, he's like, gonna chill out, get hot, and then he'll hit like a leadoff home run like the next game. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Who's the guy who played for the Cardinals for a long time, who played for the Yankees and like turned his career around for at least a couple months?
Harrison Bader?
No, the lefty. He wears no batting gloves. He rocked 20.
Oh, Matt Carpenter?
Yeah, Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, he became a god on the Yankees.
He had like 15 home runs in like a month. That's what that guy reminds me of. Yeah. Fuck, trying to reach him. Because he's got to be up there, right? He's there. Oh, no, he's only 20. All these fucking guys, dude. Those mustaches just throw me off.
Yeah, no, yeah. They do. But what a stash. That guy was born to be a Yankee.
Is Pablo Reyes getting any time?
No, not really.
No. Love that guy. Fucking P. Pablo.
No, but it looks good in it. And it's, they've been mixing it up. Like, it's someone new every night, which is like not what's been there. Like, it's been judged. But huge weekend upcoming because Juan Soto returns.
Oh, he does.
They have a Subway Series with the Mets.
You expect to get some boos?
Yes, very much so.
A lot?
I would, yeah.
That's fair. Who's the best team in the league right now? It's got to be Detroit, right?
Record-wise, I think it's Detroit, yeah.
Detroit, we go here. Yeah, Detroit is a half game above the Dodgers, even in the league. They're 3.5 up on the Yankees. Cleveland's looking pretty good. The Royals have a lot of talent. That's a good team. On the other side, Padres continue to play good baseball. Shout out ex-intern Brian, just moved actually to LA. So I think he's now a Dodgers fan. So I don't really know where that's going.
That's a tough go these days.
Yeah, and then the lowest of the lows, Colorado Rockies right now are 7-36.
No, what the it's very early, but the Rockies are on like all-time worst team watch.
We do
that close.
Every time we talk about baseball, we look at the worst team, and every week it's just been them.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're the worst team by like
miles.
Yeah.
So you go. Let me go back. So you go overall. Yeah, they're 6.5 games worse than the next best team, which is the Chicago White Sox, who also really suck.
No. The White Sox are a team that like went into the season being like, we're going to be the worst team in the league.
And
they're just getting blown out of the water, being the worst. Like,
baseball is something, man.
Yeah, and the fucking Pirates just trade Paul Skeens to the Yankees already.
Yeah, no, like I say this too. He's a Yankee, either Yankee or Dodger. He's like a big. He's going to be on one of those.
The Dodgers
big teams.
Have enough. Fuck them.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, but that's the problem. It's like. Okay, who can we get now this offseason? They do that every year.
He's already rocking a mustache. Yeah. He knows what he wants.
Exactly. baseball. Do we care about WNBA tip-off this week? 1 p.m., 3 p.m.?
Respectfully.
No.
No. Yeah.
We'll wrap up here. Couple TV shows I got. I've been watching Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV with Jon Hamm. Reasonably sick, like, some good stuff. Basically, this rich guy from, you know, New York, New Jersey area ends up just like gets cheating on, bad stuff happens, then he just becomes like the stealer. It's like it's not as intense as like a Breaking Bad where the guy just, you know, makes meth.
Yeah,
but it's along those lines. Highly suggested. If you got Apple TV, I know that's kind of a niche thing to have.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm all in on it. I think I've watched the first 6 episodes. I think they've been coming out every Friday.
Nice.
Olivia Munn is in that. Good stuff.
Shout out.
Yeah.
you a Last of Us guy?
Last of Us has been good. But I like, so spoilers, if you haven't watched it, we're going to spoil it a little bit. Since, I mean, I didn't play the video game, so I don't know, but like, just like having those two girls as like the front run of the show, like kind of a bad look.
Yeah, well, you need the revenge story.
Yeah,
that's like how the second game starts.
Okay.
Like that is like everyone was fired up. Like it's the second game of like the one of the greatest video games, like the sequel to one of the greatest video games of all time, and then that happens in like the first like fucking beat, just like the beginning of the game.
Oh wow.
And it's like, what the fuck?
I think it is cool that people like know the video game stuff, but I think it's cool having the perspective of not knowing the video game, so you don't know what's going to happen next.
Oh yeah, no. Well, like people like me were waiting for people like you when that happened.
Yeah, no. Like that episode was all time. I was like, what the like? Did they really just?
Oh yeah, because that's like, you know, like Game of Thrones esque. Not on like the scale of that, obviously. No, but like, they killed half the show. But.
In season one, when they kill of Game of Thrones, when they killed
yeah.
Remind me of the same exact thing. What's his name? Something Stark.
Ned Stark.
Shit. R.I.P. Yeah. That was fucking tough, dude.
R.I.P.
That's when that show fucking turned. Turned for seven seasons until they ruined the ending. But we'll leave it at that. We won't get too upset. Before we wrap up, I want to give a quick shout out to Hedgebetter, our sponsor. You know, our presentation, Hedgebetter here. Producer Justin might be getting this out just in time for the Celtics. Who knows? If not, still a great guy. Want to throw out the sponsor.
Still a stud,
law office of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street. If you're looking for proper legal representation for first-time home buyers, look no further than there. Patrick J. Foley will be there for you, get all the paperwork done. He's done the drill a million times now. He'll get it done for you, especially if you're a South Shore Quincy resident. That doesn't matter either way, but familiarity is, you know, important.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And on that, episode 188, Celtics in 7. We got to get by tomorrow night, but let's see what happens.
Lead green. Let's fucking go. Yup.
Yup.